So, do you ever find yourself gossiping? You know, judging and then gossiping about that person that you work with that bugs you, or judging and gossiping about that neighbor that you don't get along with, and you find yourself saying, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe what she did now. Do you say that? Do you do that? You know, I read a story about a woman who is a gossip, and her name is Mildred, and it says, Mildred, the church gossip and self-appointed arbiter of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose in other members' private lives. Church members were unappreciative of her activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic, when she saw his pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She commented to George and others, everyone seeing his truck there would know what he was doing. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and then walked away. He didn't defend. He didn't explain. He said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house and left it there all night. While you may not gossip like that and start rumors like that, nonetheless, oftentimes we find ourselves gossiping. And do you ever find yourself fault-finding the people in your life or blaming the people in your life and saying things like, he's always late, and then he doesn't even care when he's late, and then he makes me late for wherever it is I'm going? You think, judge and blame the other people in your life? Or do you do fault-finding and judging with yourself and then give yourself a hard time for that and say things like, I'm so stupid, and say those kinds of unkind things to yourself? We start a class this week. It's called Self-Mastery, Emergence of the True Self. And that class is based on two things. It is based on the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and the teachings of Center for Spiritual Living and the Science of Mind. And so the first agreement in his book, The Four Agreements, is be impeccable with your word. And so he defines being impeccable with your word as being flawless with your word. And I think we all have an idea of what that means, to be flawless with your words, which are things like to speak honestly and with kindness, to speak with integrity, meaning to do what you actually say that you're going to do, to tell the truth and not to lie, and to not use words that cause injury, not to gossip. And so we also know the Ten Commandments tell us, thou shalt not lie. But I wonder, is it really that simple, and is that really the best advice all the time? Because would you really tell that woman that you're standing next to in the grocery store line it's the ugliest haircut you've ever seen that she's wearing? Or if you were hiding a Jewish person in your attic and the Nazis came, would you say, oh yes, they're hiding right up there? You know, so it's not necessarily about not telling lies. I think being impeccable with your word is much more really about using words that are life-giving. It's about using words that are thriving. It's about using words that are expansive, both with ourselves and with the other people that are around us. So it's to use words like that rather than blaming or using words that are disempowering or are not kind that actually create poison. And so in Buddhism, part of the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment is about right speech, because right speech is a requisite to enlightenment. And so in Buddhism, they talk about right speech as being about abstaining from lying or false speech, like Mildred, not slandering others, abstaining from rude, impolite, or abusive language, to not speak in a way that causes disharmony or ill will. And don't you think about when you gossip, how that creates ill will with the person that you're talking with? And so I think that that then goes far beyond thou shalt not lie, because it's really about speaking in ways that promote harmony. It's about speaking in ways that promote goodwill with ourselves, the way that we talk to ourselves, and in our relationships, and in our world, the world that we live in. And so I think it's really fascinating, if you think about it, that one of the main reasons that we gossip is actually to feel connected with the person that we're gossiping with. It's like that's the level that we create this connection with, instead of having to work a little bit harder and creating connection on some other level and having to look a little bit. So we gossip in order to create connection between us and another person. There's another reason that we gossip also, which is actually to get other people to agree with our opinion, to get them to agree with our perspective, which actually may or may not be true. It's just the way that we see things. So we're wanting them to solidify that and build us up by making our opinion right. And so I read this week, and I thought it was really fascinating. It says, when most of us think of Vikings, we think of fearsome warriors wearing horned helmets, or perhaps their caricature in Hagar and the Horrible comic strips. But did you know that Vikings never wore helmets with horns on them? They would have snagged their weapons. But the Scandinavian Viking raiders and traders who swept through Europe so effectively from the 8th to the 11th century AD were pagans. So leaders of the Christian church at the time had to demonize them. Hence, they depicted them with horns at every opportunity. Wow! How's that for gossip and rumor being planted in consciousness, and we all think that's the way that it is? That's fascinating to me. But when we gossip, we create poison. And we do that oftentimes just to support our point of view, and we do it so we can feel better about ourselves sometimes. But does really finding fault in other people and judging them, does it really make you feel better about yourself? Does it really do that? Or does it just momentarily take your focus outside of yourself onto something else so you don't have to look within and take responsibility for your life and for your actions and for your experience and maybe making different choices than what you're doing? Puts all of our focus out there. And does gossiping or judging someone else really make you feel whole? Does it allow you to experience your wholeness? Does it make you feel like you are enough and to experience your enoughness? Does it really let you feel peaceful and with a sense of serenity? Or does it just give you a short-term high just in that moment, and then in the bigger picture of your life, just make you feel not very good about yourself and just reinforce that feelings of, I'm really not that good, something's wrong with me, I'm not enough kind of thing in the big picture? It's kind of like building a house on sand instead of solid ground. It doesn't really get you where you're, the intention of where you really want to go. And so Ruiz, in his book, defines impeccable as without sin. And we all know that the word sin is an archer's term, which means missing the mark. Without sin, he says, sin is anything that goes against yourself. Sin is anything that goes against yourself, anything that goes against your true nature, anything that goes against the good that is a part of your own beingness, anything that goes against your spirit or your essence or life with a capital L. And so at Centers for Spiritual Living, we teach about the power of your word, the power of your consciousness and your word to create the experiences in your life. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, the word is a mold which decides what form the thought is to take as it assumes shape and becomes a part of our conditions. Our word is our power, and it's the power to create in our lives. Our word is acted upon by the law and creates the direction that our experience will take. And Ruiz says, depending on how you use it, your word can set you free or it can enslave you. Does your word set you free? The way you speak to yourself about yourself, does it set you free or does it enslave you? The way that you speak about other people, does it set you free where you can feel your spirit, or does it enslave you to this world of form and to your own ego? Criticism and judgment do not make us free. They weigh us down. And self-criticism and self-judgment do not set us free. They weigh us down. It's kind of like putting on this big, wet, heavy blanket that has mud all over it, and then we trudge around our lives after we are hard on ourselves and judging ourselves. It doesn't allow us to evolve, and it doesn't allow us to grow, and it doesn't allow us to be who we've come here to be. And so it's imperative, then, that we speak to ourselves in ways that support us, and do not speak to ourselves in ways that diminish or tear us down. Our thoughts create our feelings and our emotions, which in turn create our experience in the world that we live in. And so in this book, The Art of Being, he talks about this in a way that I really like, and I'd like to share it with you, and it's called A New Way of Being Human. If we were at all sensitized to what is really happening in our world, we will see that there is truly a new wave of understanding beginning to crest. This wave is rising to the call of a deeper compassion than we have ever known before. As this wave lifts us to a new perspective, we're being called to look beyond the trauma dramas with which the media are pummeling at us. The old way of doing things is simply no longer working. In short, a large part of our culture and the belief system that has sustained it for so many years is changing. Metaphorically speaking, it is preparing to die, and a new culture, a new way of being human, is preparing to be born. To echo the words of Lynn Twist, who spoke with such great elegance and clarity, we must begin to understand that we are going to have to help hospice an old way of life that no longer works, and midwife a new one that does. I truly resonated with this statement when I heard it because I can identify with the metaphor. Hospice workers are among the most compassionate people on the planet because their soul job is to assist individuals through perhaps the most difficult thing any one of us shall ever do, die. They practice the art of deep compassion and loving kindness, and manage to do so without being swept into the emotions of it all. In short, their job is to assist those who are making their transition from one dimension of life to the next with as little pain and as much dignity and peace as possible. In many ways, this is what we are being called to do now in our culture. Being impeccable with our word is helping to bring that new world into being, a world that is based in kindness and compassion and unity and oneness. And so I invite you to close your eyes just for a second and to imagine that you are in a delivery room, working as a midwife, assisting in the birth of the most amazingly beautiful baby you have ever seen. Holding this baby in your arms, looking into its eyes, you realize that you are looking at every human being on the planet. How does it feel to hold the future of humankind in your arms? The truth is, you are doing that right now. A new way of being human begins with you and with me. It begins with love and compassion for every being. And I invite you to open your eyes. We are being asked to be the change we wish to see in the world. And we're being asked to be conduits for that. And one of the ways that we do that is through the words that we speak, through our consciousness, through our focus, through our attention, and through our words of kindness and care and gentleness and support. And so in the book, This Thing Called You, Ernest Holmes says, your consciousness, which means the sum total of your thoughts, is the medium between the invisible cause and your personal life. Though you were in hell and dwelt on heavenly things, you would immediately find yourself in heaven. Though you were in heaven and dwelt on evil, you would immediately find yourself. Is the result of the wrong use of the law of life. Therefore, your greatest desire should be to use this law rightly. You always use it rightly when you use it constructively. You use it constructively when there is nothing in you that would hurt anyone. You use it constructively when you use it with love. Loving, using loving words and being kind to ourselves and others allows us to bring our greatest selves forward. It allows us to bring our best selves. And being impeccable with our word invites that same thing forward in the people that are around us. Being speaking to ourselves and others as a model for those that are around us, so that they, in turn, begin to use that same kind of behavior. I remember one time when I was in my 20s, I was living in a duplex, and it was being painted. And I was sleeping, and they were outside working. It was early in the morning, and the owner of the painting company came to check on the workers to see what they were doing. And he was complimentary to them. Wow, you guys are doing such a great job. This looks so good. But this one little spot over here, can you change this? And right over here, can you adjust this? It was the first time in my life I ever heard a boss or someone being supportive like that. My experience had been, what is wrong with you? Look at what you've done. You haven't done this right, to give them a hard time. It was like brand new, because I woke up. I grew up with that same harsh childhood of being spoken to, harsh parenting. That kindness makes such a difference in this world. And so being impeccable with your word, speaking honestly and with kindness and with compassion and with honesty in ways that do not cause ill harm or ill will, contributes to bringing this magnificent world into being that we want to live in. It contributes to bringing humanity as we want to see it into being. And so my invitation to you this week is to be impeccable with your word. And not just this week, but as you move forward on this path, to use your words, your energy towards yourself and with others in a way that builds up, in a way that brings forward the wholeness of yourself and the wholeness in others, in ways that enable you to thrive and others to thrive, that allows you to soar. And as a result, we will absolutely be a catalyst for peace and a catalyst for creating the world that we want to live in and a catalyst for creating heaven on earth. And so blessings to all of you as you walk this path of spirit, this path of allowing your own spirit to come forward and be the thing that leads you in your life. Blessings to all of you.